So it is great to have Brad and Ellie and the whole gang here. So Brad, why don't you come on up and share God's word with us?
Good morning. That was a little bit of a video that one of our board members, TBM, came over a couple years ago and did. And I had said 8 years. It's actually, we've been there about 10 years now. And God's been so good. And we're so blessed for that video. And it gives you just a little bit of taste of how life is over in Kenya and how we get around and teaching and discipling in the villages. And we're so thankful for the church, for our home and sending church here at Grace, and for all your prayer and all your support. And the ministries are going good. The guys are learning. I'm learning and growing and starting to change my teaching a little bit. They're learning knowledge. They're getting the knowledge. But now we got to start applying that heart and putting that faith into action and if you believe it, then let's see it lived out. And that's really where a lot of those cultural things that they live by, trying to have that word of God just come in and clean out their house, and that they can live by the word of God. And so the ministry is going good. We're excited to be here. We got in last night. We got back in the States January 4th, and we lost all our luggage, and we were 4 days without any luggage, but God was good, and finally a guy drove a hot, we lost all 10, we had 10 suitcases, and but God was good, and they found it all. So we got our luggage and got back. It's been crazy. We've hit the ground running. My driver's license expired, and so I couldn't drive, so I was afraid. I had been trying to study to take my driver's license, and I had only a couple days to take it, and then someone gave us a vehicle, and I had to fly out to D.C. to pick it up and drive it back, and preparing, and now we're here. And so we're excited to be here. It's so good to be back here at Grace and to see all your faces, to see how everyone's changing and to see new faces. And we're going to be here at Grace for the next 3 to 4 weeks. And we want to spend that time to getting to know you guys and see what the Lord is doing in your life and through you. And then at the end of 3 or 4 weeks, we'll be traveling down to Georgia and Tennessee and Kentucky. And the following month, we'll be down visiting Ellie's family. And then we'll be down back in the Midwest in August and sharing with churches out there that we know. And then by the grace of God, our desires to head back to Kenya in January. So it's exciting to be here. Seeing the video, I haven't seen it in a while. It just, you know, that's home. And now this is all foreign to us. And the kids are loving it and excited to see new things. And again, to have food come out the window is they love it. We're excited to be here. I want to share with you what the Lord's been teaching me. If you turn to your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 3, we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. I'm going to go ahead and read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole earth, family, and heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through the Spirit in which is the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, that is in the width, the length, and depth, and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly of all that we speak or think, according to this power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, just ask for your wisdom and ask for the Holy Spirit to move and direct, and the Lord, that as what I speak, it speaks right from your word. And those who have ears, let them hear, Lord, and may it penetrate down to their soul and joints and to their marrow. And Lord, we thank you again for the Spirit that works within us. Lord, may we listen to your word, and may we apply your word to our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you again for this opportunity, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Over the last couple of months, I've been going through the book of Ephesians, and coming back, wanting to share, and the Lord has kind of been laying this on my heart, and But before I can even get into this verse, we kind of got to back up and see what is this that Paul is talking about. And so as we go back to chapter 1, I'm not going to go through verse by verse, but I want to just give you an overall view as Paul here is talking to the saints in chapter 1, verse 1 there. And not just to the saints, but to the faithful who are in Christ. So it's very clear Paul is speaking to the believer, the one who is faithful, the one who is in Christ. That's us, the believer, the church. And Paul goes on and he's talking about these blessings that we have, these spiritual blessings that God has given us. And we see very clearly as we go through this that these blessings that in verse 4 that he wants us, that we should be holy. He's telling us that we as believers should be set apart, that we've been adopted, that we've been accepted in the Beloved. Another one of these blessings in verse 7, that we've been redeemed. In verse 9, that having made known to us these mysteries. In verse 11, we have this inheritance. In verse 13, in whom you've also trusted, you've heard the word, you've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. These are the spiritual blessings that Paul is talking about. These are ours as believers. These are ours. And Paul goes on and says, as he says in 15 through 24, that the power, verse 19, that is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us believing according to the working of his mighty power. This power that's in us, the Holy Spirit that seals us, is working in us. We have this power within us. Paul goes into chapter 2 and is reminding the Ephesians, the church at Ephesus, that are full of Gentiles and Jews. And the book of Ephesians is bringing the body of Christ together. And as we see here in chapter 2, Paul is reminding us that you once were dead, but now you've been alive. And how you once were far off, and now he's brought you near. And it's only by the grace of God, by his grace, you're saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It's a gift to God. And Paul is reminding the church here of this blessing. And as we get the tail end of chapter 2, he says in verse 11, the Gentiles, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh were called uncircumcision. He's saying you guys were far off. You were aliens of the commonwealth of Israel. You're strangers from the covenant of promises. You were without God. But I love in verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I love the song this morning. I didn't know you were going to play that song. And it's all because of his blood that we've been brought near. Jew, Gentiles, we've all been placed into one body. And that's what Paul is reminding the church here. That in verse 14, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and broken down this wall. He's reminding you, Jew and Gentiles, the blood of Jesus has broken down this wall and has brought you together, and you've been placed into the one body with Jesus Christ. We are all one. As we've been back, I've been hearing things on the news, you know, this movement, as Christians, if we're a nation that is focused on Christ, we shouldn't be in this group and this group. We should be reminding ourselves that we are all in one body. In Kenya, there's 60-some different tribes, and Kenya would call itself Christian, but they would say 80% are Christian, but I would only say 5% are. The point of that, with all these different tribes, you know, when we are in Christ, there's only one tribe. There's only one body, and we are all in that same body because of the blood of Christ. And that's what Paul's trying to remind the Ephesians here. In chapter 3, he goes on, and in verse 10, he says, to the intent to now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church. This is the church. You or I, the believer, we are the church, and we're to take this glorious gospel, this good news of the peace that we have in Christ, and we're to go and share it. And then we come to verse 14, where Paul says, for this reason I bow my knee to the Father. Paul is making an appeal here for spiritual strength from God. In particular, Paul is asking God to help the Ephesians to exhibit a faith which goes beyond knowledge and in action. He bows his knee to the Father. Bowing the knee is a humble expression. And again, I'm blown away by Paul's example of prayer. This is a particular verse that a lot of churches will use, especially verse 20 and 21. It's a doxology that they would use. But before we can understand that doxology, we got to understand the verses before it. And as Paul is bending his knee and praying to the Father that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, just to be strengthened with might through the Spirit of the inner man, verse 16. Many a times my prayers, I've been really convicted of studying through this because my prayers have been very shallow. You know, people will say, "Hey, can you pray for me?" Yeah, what can I pray? Oh, you know, I'm struggling with this, or I'm struggling with this, or smoking, or pornography, and I'm like, all right. And so it's like, Lord, please help so-and-so quit smoking or looking at pornography. And that's really not how I should be praying. And Paul is teaching us here something better. Really, smoking is not the problem. But the problem is, it's our heart. And we got to get to the inner person to understand why are we doing these things. And so I'm reminded in 2 Corinthians 4:16, keep your finger here in Ephesians, let me read this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Therefore, do not lose heart, even though the outer man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." We see here in verse 16 with Ephesians, Paul is wanting us to be strengthened through the inner man, through the Spirit. He's not wanting us to be strengthened the outer man. He wants the inner man to be strengthened because the outer man is perishing. It's I'm getting older, and it's harder for me to do things. And I'm reminded that I'm in this body. I'm in this temple, and this temple is going to perish. And as Scripture teaches us, absent from the body, present with the Lord. There's going to be a separation from the earthly body, from the inner man. He's talking about our soul and spirit. And that's what Paul is wanting to pray for, that inner man, our soul and spirit, to be strengthened through the Holy Spirit, so that God would grant you according to his riches, as we just read in the beginning. All these spiritual blessings, these riches that God has given us, his love that he has for us. As we continue, God wants to give us his strength by the working of the Holy Spirit that is in us. We would do well to remember that we have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. If we cannot overcome our circumstances in our life, we get fixed on a situation or a problem in our life that we get down or we get depressed. It is not because he has not given you victory over that power or sin or death, but because you do not realize the power that you already have in you. Sometimes we get so focused on our problem that we forget what he has already done for us. Knowledge of Christ should translate into living for Christ. As believers, we have been set free from the power of sin and death, but sometimes we still live as if we are not. As we look in verse 17, this is all tied together. That Christ may dwell within your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I really want to focus on this verse. This verse can be misunderstood sometimes, where Christ may dwell in your hearts. A lot of times people might think that this is, yes, I'm saved, I have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That is true. You have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But this word dwell is a little different. This word dwell means to be made comfortable or be made at home, okay? And so I'm reminded couple months ago, we sent out an email saying we're coming back, and Paul and Meg Dalton responded to our email, and they said, "Welcome home to West Creek." You know, there's this encouragement as they said, "Welcome," and they've made their home a place for us that we can be comfortable, and it's our home. As we're going to be traveling, they've opened the doors and they've welcomed us in, and I'm so blessed because you know, I have access to the bedrooms, to the bathroom, to the kitchen, to the fridge, and before we went to bed last night, I was handed the keys to the house. You know, it's home, and that's where what we see here. Paul is talking. He wants Christ to dwell in us. He wants to make a home in us, and we are truly grateful for the Daltons for opening up their home to us. It is such a blessing and encouragement that we can have that place. But on the other hand, have you ever been invited into somebody's house and they say, "Welcome, make yourself at home," but what they really mean is just sit there, and if you need to use the bathroom, go there and just come back. They don't really mean, you know, welcome, make yourself at home, you see? And I share that because I'm guilty of it, having people come over. Hey, come in, just sit here, and you know, I don't want them to make themselves at home, you know. I just come in, let's talk, and then I got to go do my thing. I get in a hurry, I'm busy. But Paul here is suggesting that Christ may be comfortable at home, that he be comfortable in your hearts. That's what he's talking about. That Christ, as we put our trust in Christ, Christ needs to move into our hearts. He needs to move in and be comfortable. Have we really allowed Jesus to take up residency in our hearts? Have we allowed him to make himself comfortable in our hearts? I'm reminded of when when Ellie and I, we got out of Bible school, I did my internship at a Baptist church in my hometown there. And when we got there, we didn't have a place to stay, and we're at church, and the guy in the church said, "Hey, I have a place, you know, 3-bedroom house, you know, $250. I'm like, "Great." And the pastor heard about it, and he said, "Hey, since you're doing an internship, well, you know, we'll pay the rent." And I'm like, "Wow, thank you, Lord." But I hadn't seen the house yet. And so the next day, we get over there, and the man's name was Harold. And Harold's like, "Yeah, I've had this house. It's been sitting here for a while, and it's been the house of my cats for the last couple of years." I was like, "Oh, boy." So we open the door, we go inside, and you can just, I mean, I love cats. I mean, cats are okay. My kids love cats. My wife loves cats. I'm okay with cats. But we get in, and you can just smell the urine and the poop in the house, and, you know, it's got shag carpet. And so we get in there, and we tried cleaning the walls, and we had to shampoo and do that special vacuum, and you know, and you couldn't just wipe the walls. I said, "Well, Ellie, we gotta paint it." So we painted the whole house, every single room, and in all that, even the refrigerator had cat hair in it. I mean, it was just cleaning everything. So we cleaned this house from top to bottom. And I say this because the moment you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you trust Him, okay, you move from that old man to a new creation, and Christ comes in. You are that dirty house, and the Lord wants to come in and clean it out. Christ will not be at home in our hearts until every area reflects His character and His taste. Is there a room in your house that you don't want the Lord to come? Like, "Lord, come into the house, but just stay here in the living room. Lord, come into the house, but, you know, you can't go into that closet." You know, I share this because what Paul is saying is he wants us to be strengthened through the Holy Spirit to the inner man, but he can't strengthen us until he comes and he dwells within our hearts, that he makes himself at home in our hearts. Are you following what I'm saying? The Lord wants to come in and be at home, but the problem is we don't want him really to come in and make himself at home. And so therefore we have what we call strongholds in our lives. Maybe we're struggling with anger, or we're struggling with some sort of addiction that we don't want really that help. But we see here through Scripture, Paul is saying, "I want to pray. I don't want to just pray that you stop smoking. I want you to be strengthened from the inner man, that Christ can dwell within you, and he will change you from the inside out." That's what Paul is praying here. Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Sometimes faith is misunderstood. You see, faith is actually saying less about you and more about what you really believe to be true about God. How big is your God? If you believe God is big and he can do it, then your faith is placed in him and it's big. But sometimes we think, "Well, I can't get over this." Then your faith is small. And that's what Paul is saying here, that he may dwell in your hearts through faith. I'm reminded of Simon in Luke chapter 5, when Jesus was looking for his disciples. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 6. "So it was as the multitude passed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. And when he had got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out from the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and taught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets.'" To order and understand this, we got to know a little bit about fishing, okay? We see here from Scripture that Simon was on the side of the lake. They were cleaning their nets, okay? It's already morning, and they're cleaning their nets. And we see down in verse 5, he said, "Master, we have toiled all night." So when you fish at night. And so Simon had already been fishing, you know, he's cleaning his nets. And at this time, in this culture, they didn't fish in the deep, they fished in the shallow, okay? So to understand Simon a little bit, we have to understand this, what Jesus is really asking him. So after Jesus gets done speaking, he looks to Simon and he says, let's go out into the deep and let down your nets. Now, if you put yourself in Simon's shoes, he's got to be thinking, Lord, I have been fishing for a long time and I know how to do this. And it's already afternoon. Why am I going to go fish in the daytime? We don't fish in the daytime. And why am I going to put my nets down in the deep? We don't do this. See, the Lord might be asking you to do something that just doesn't make sense. And we have to step out on faith. We have to trust him. Because we see here in verse 5, Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled night and day and caught nothing. But nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. That's where Simon had faith. That's where he was putting his faith into action. He didn't understand it. He knew this is not what we normally do, but I'm gonna trust you. And that's what Simon did. I don't know the situations in your life. I don't know the struggles that you're going through. Just as Paul bent down on his knee to pray for the church, that Christ may come and dwell in your hearts through faith, I want to encourage you, trust the Lord. No matter what it is you're going through, whether it's pride in your life, or if it's a hypocrisy, or it's anger, or bitterness, I don't know what it is. The simple answer is to repent. Change your mind. Repent. Confess it to the Lord. Allow the Lord to come in and dwell. Give that closet back to the Lord because it's His. Paul goes on and he says that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, length, and depth, and height to know the love of Christ. He loves us. He loves us so much that the moment we trusted in Christ, He's given us all these spiritual blessings because of the blood of Christ. We've been redeemed. We have the Holy Spirit. We now just have to plug in. We got to tap into His power. We can't do it on our own. I just want to encourage you that the Lord wants to dwell within your hearts so that you can know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. It's amazing to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That it's like when you fall in love and you just can't explain how much you love her. It's a beyond knowledge. And we see in these last two verses, verse 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now to him who is able. He can do it right now. You don't have to go home. You can do it right now because he's able. He's more than able. And I love this. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that works in us. And when we're reminded of this, we see the very last verse, to him to be the glory to the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit through faith. As we get to the end of the book in Ephesians, we see Paul talks about we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers of the air. And one of those verses in there, it talks about the shield of faith, that we have to take up the shield of faith. And it's something we have to do. It's something that we have to as believers, take up that shield. And Paul is describing here a Roman soldier. He's describing a shield. It wasn't a small round one. It was a Roman shield. It's about 4 foot tall, about 2 foot wide, made out of wood. And on the front of that shield was a canvas like leather. There was leather applied to it. And then it had a piece of metal that went around the whole shield. It was very sturdy. And before a Roman soldier would go into battle, he would take that shield and he would dip it in water. And that cowhide, that leather would get wet. Because the Romans knew as they went into battle, sometimes their enemy would shoot flames of fiery arrows at them. And it would stick in their shield. What's encouraging about this is that this shield is not just only personal use, that when Satan and the enemy tries to cast lies and doubts into our mind, because we've got to remind ourselves that we are children of God. We've been redeemed. We've been set free. Christ lives in us. And with that shield, we have to take up and we can protect ourselves. But here's the really neat thing is, if you ever seen a Roman soldier picture of when the whole garrison would come together and this guy had a shield and this guy had a shield and this guy, and when they'd go into battle, they'd put their shields together and the guys behind them would cover the front guys and they'd go, that was called a turtle position. And it's so neat is because Paul here in Ephesians is talking about the body of Christ, we as believers. And so I want to end on this encouragement. As we pray together, we can put up our shields and not only protect ourselves, but we can also protect the person next to us. As we lift up our shields, and that we can be an encouragement to one another. We can lock our shields together and we can pray for one. And that's one of the things I love about Calvary is the prayer that comes out of this church. As we can put up our shields of faith and that we can cover one another in prayer and support. Ellie and I want to leave this shield for the church. We brought a spear and a rungu last time, and this is a Maasai shield. And it just be a reminder that when you see this, that as the body of Christ, that we can put up the shield from the enemy and that we can cover one another next to us in prayer. Cover that person in prayer. Lift them up because we need it. We all need it. You know, we're so prideful sometimes. We think we can do it on our own, but we can't. It's humbling ourselves, bowing that knee and say, yes, I need help. And so we want to leave this for the church as a reminder of how blessed we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this church, for Grace Calvary. Thank you for the men stepping up. I love that the gifts in the church of John stepping up and singing, Craig and all the men in the back. And Lord, just pray again as Paul prayed, that he bowed his knee and that we all would know how much the riches that have been given unto us, that we'd all be strengthened through the Spirit in the inner man, and that Christ may just make his home in us, that we would just clean out these closets, that we'd confess these things that we're holding on to, so that we can be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. Because, Lord, we know you are able to do above and beyond anything that we are to ask or even think. And so, Lord, because of your power, that same power last week that Christ resurrected lives in us. Father, to you be the glory, to the church, and to every generation, we say thank you. Amen.